You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Bates Motel After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Bates Motel After Show. Now!
Yes, welcome to AfterBuzz Bates Motel. Thank you very much. That's AC/DC Meltdown in the background. I get to pick the music because Joe Braswell's not here. So, we are shy a couple of Joes. They're having their own little meltdowns. Joe Braswell, who usually hosts the show, had to run out. If you were been tuning in this Tuesday afternoon and you saw him on the blacklist and the following, he had to bail for some reason. Joe Sanfilippo, who's also usually here, is also not here because he's got stuff going on. But you know what? Lucky me, because I get to share the show.
I've never seen you so happy, Mando.
I am so happy that the Joes are gone. Oh, God. It's so great. But I'm joined, luckily, by Dua Casey over here.
Hi. Welcome, everybody.
Yes, and also our extraordinary producer. I'm surrounded by the ladies. I got Roya producing a show.
Hello.
So I'm pretty lucky. I'm a lucky guy doing a really awesome show called Bates Motel. This is season 2, episode 8. Title is Meltdown. And I guess we definitely get to see things are ramping up. I know we say this from time to time, and obviously with 2 more episodes to go, there's a lot going on. It was a major, major cliffhanger at the end of last episode where we found out we had a nice long conversation about semen and whether or not Norman had a conversation with whether Norman consummated with Blair Watson, which you rewatch. I just have to start this off with this because
sure.
We definitely got a lot of comments on this, and I really think
sure.
I really think somebody on iTunes actually got frustrated with you over this.
Sure.
You rewatched that episode, and after hearing that whole cliffhanger at the end, you still stand firm that Norman did not have sex with that woman.
So I stand firm on it. Let me tell you something. Cesar Gonzalez on Twitter actually posted something, and I want to thank you, Cesar, for posting this because it does seem like there are some people on my side. The title of last week's episode is called Presumed Innocent.
Okay.
Presumed Innocent is also a movie that deals with a semen sample thought to be definitive evidence, and it turns out that it's not. That's...
Really?
Yeah. So when I read that, and it's not that I think that the semen is actually inside Blair Watson and I don't understand how this happens. I think that this is misdirection, and I don't think that Norman had sex with her. I think that they're making it seem like he did.
But just to make things clear, you totally know how sex works.
I do know how sex works.
Okay. Yes. I just want to make it clear for for Leather and Lace, who posted on iTunes, that he said he doesn't think you watch a show. I just want to say that I think Dua is an incredibly capable person who definitely puts Joe and myself on our toes here.
It does sound like Leather and Lace does know a lot more about sex than I do, apparently. Leather and Lace.
Yeah, I would think just from that name alone, I think it scares me a little bit. Just want to let you know, it scares me a little bit. But thank you very much, Leather and Lace, because she still gave us a great review.
Perfect.
And on iTunes, which, by the way, if you are listening on iTunes, please, we'd love to get ratings from you. We'd love to have you guys subscribe and rate us and write to us. We love what we like to always say on the show is we love fives, as in 5 stars. So please.
Not fours. Let fives.
We'll take fours. No, because we'll take the criticism as well. And and actually, there are times when we do go off the rails and people remind us by giving us lower ratings, and we quickly adjust. Also, if you want to write to us on YouTube, usually for our YouTube episodes, we are much more likely to read and to be able to comment if there's something really pressing there. So, so let's get into this episode. What I'd love to start off with, and we're definitely going to talk more about whether or not Norman did or did not have sex with that woman, but let's start talking a little bit about the relationship that Norma's having right now with Norman and with Dylan a little bit, but let's focus on Norman, because obviously there was definitely something off balance this whole episode with the way Norman was treating Norma. There was a secret that Norma's obviously keeping from Norman as far as what happens when he blacks out. And Norman is visibly upset, but he's definitely playing it like a regular teenage kid.
He's passive. He's 100% passive this episode.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so much, the more and more I was watching it, the more and more that it just seems like a relationship, like a marriage, not like a mother and a son. The way that she was so upset, you know, I was calling your name, you weren't calling me, I'm going out, you know, I'm going out, you're not, I won't wait up. Like, it's very much, it's not a mother and son relationship, it's very much a relationship. And when the name of the title is called Meltdown, so are we talking about Norman's meltdown, his internal meltdown? Are we talking about Norma's meltdown with, you know, the fact that obviously her relationship with Norman is the most important thing to her. And when that starts going and getting derailed, and when he starts not giving her the attention that she's looking for, she cannot handle it. And she goes nuts.
Yeah. You know, there's something I wrote, interestingly enough, from the beginning of the episode. We'll talk more about Romero a little bit later, but I definitely want to bring up when Romero comes down to get looking for coffee.
Mm-hmm.
It was really interesting how food was a symbol for relationship status. Romero looking for answers. He's going downstairs looking for coffee, trying to get Norman to give him coffee or help him out with coffee, but
and
not
how...
really asking for it. And then the next moment, Norma comes down with
cake.
A cake.
Yep, that's exactly what I was going to say. And it's almost like, this is my peace offering, and he doesn't take it. And the look on her face, he might as well have just slapped her across the face. She was like, oh, I want to actually step back for just a moment.
Yeah.
When Nestor Carbonell was here a couple of weeks ago, and he was talking about how the characters play with a lot of things. They'll look for things on set to play with.
Mm-hmm.
And how in episode 8, he plays with something, and he ad-libbed it, and they kept it, and it was cool. And I think it was the ball. When he was, the very, very first scene, when he was thinking, in the hotel room, he was thinking, and this was right before the scene with the coffee, he has a ball, and he's, like, knocking it on the table and playing with it. As he's thinking. And I think that that's what it was, because I've been looking for it. I've been looking for Nestor to play with things ever since he said that. And I think that's what it is.
You know what? It's a good perception. I didn't think about that. But what I thought was interesting, and I guess we'll jump ahead for a second to Romero since we're talking about that, is the whole shower curtain scene.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, I don't know if that was something that was originally ad-libbed and then they added to it or whatever, but I just thought that was a very telling, very interesting telling scene, having a conversation in the shower with Norman in the shower. So I don't know, maybe that kind of fits in more obviously with Psycho the movie, so with the original movie, so maybe that was it too. But interesting. Why do you think it was the ball though? What makes you think that? Because is there any other significance to that ball?
Well, it's just the way that a character, when a character is playing with, they're almost trying to like emote how they're feeling. So he's playing with something to kind of, you know, and they'll do it a lot on set. So I've been hyper aware and hypersensitive to what they're doing with their hands, not just their gestures, not just their emotions, not just the dialogue, but what they're doing with other objects, you know, inanimate objects around. So, it's interesting. It's interesting. There are interesting choices for an actor to make.
Yeah, no, interesting enough. Let's go back to Norma and Norman, because I really think that there's just a lot there. Obviously, there was a bit of a meltdown. And I think the key that had in the meltdown, I'm trying to look it up right now, was that scene toward the end, right before Norman walked up the steps. And again, perfect use of that high angle, low angle shot to show Norman in a very aggressive position, looking down on his mom. But a lot of what he was saying, if I wrote it all down, so I'm trying to look it up, but it really was like, the game has changed. Everything, I don't trust you, and everything has changed, I believe, is what he said.
Yep.
And how the game was that, you know, you were supposed to love me. We were devoted to each other. Right. Nothing could come between us, that we loved each other more than anyone could ever love another person.
And that's destroyed. It sounds like he's breaking up with her.
Yeah. It does sound like a major breaking up. It sounds like a major breaking
up. And she's
like,
don't say that, you know. And she's becoming more and more overbearing.
Yeah.
And he's pulling away more and more.
And he knows her tricks. He's like, oh, the anger doesn't work. So here come the tears.
Yep.
You know?
It's such a relationship argument.
And the thing I noticed a lot with Norma in this episode, too, is Norma definitely, and we see it a lot in this episode, Norma really, we always say that Norma's relationship's a little creepy, a little too incestuous, even if there isn't anything going on there in that way. And a lot of it, I noticed in this episode, has to do with touch. You know, the way she needs physical contact, even if she's not doing anything inappropriate with them. It's just enough to really creep you out or think something's going on, the way she touches. And I thought it was very interesting. I'll show you some other examples, but I thought it was very, very interesting when Norman has that argument. He's yelling at her. Everything's changed. At, you know, and he goes, I'm going to my room. Don't follow me. And she still goes there, and she's touching the door, and she's trying to get there, and she's just trying to get that physical contact.
She's trying to connect.
She's trying to connect. That's how she connects.
This is the first time I realized that there's actually a door. She goes into the hallway door, and then she turns around, goes into her room, and they have an adjoining door to their bedroom.
That is kind of weird and creepy, too. That is creepy, too.
Also, with she kisses Dylan straight on the mouth, too.
You know what? There was a lot. I rewound that. I don't think it's on the mouth, but it looks a little too close to him. I thought it was kind of like half cheek, half mouth.
There was definitely a little lip in there.
There was a little lip in there? Oh, okay. I must have, I don't know, maybe because there was a lot of shadows or something.
It had enough. I just thought it was interesting that she kisses Dylan on the mouth. It had enough to have all of the workers that were in the other room
notice.
Watch.
Yeah. And she also did a very caressing touch on Dylan in the first scene, too, before he goes off. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you know, even though they had a falling out, when she goes to meet with him, you know, just she still cares, and she's like, "Oh wow, you have an office." She was very surprised. There was a little awkward moment there or two with her and Dylan, where she starts being a mother to him. But then she, like I said, she gives him that little caress, which was interesting. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, I'm jumping ahead for a second, but I want to like hammer this point. The second that Norma can't get that physical connection with Norman, can't go through the door, can't touch him, what does she do? She runs over to George and takes her panties off, and you can see the look on her face. It was really just, to me, it wasn't that I want to have sex with him or I'm turned on.
That's it, not was, what it was about
I
at all.
Want you to touch me. I want you, I want to feel something.
Yeah.
And it's that physical contact that she knows that's what George wants, so she is giving it to him.
Yeah. And completely using him. So what are our thoughts about George now? Do you still, since he admitted this episode that he, you know, as Sanfilippo said, is just pretty much in it for the free hugs and does really like her, and he kind of just laid it all out on the table there.
Yeah.
What do you still think he has a kind of a ulterior motive, or?
Well, I love the honesty in this episode. We really saw the honesty again with Norman in that scene telling his mom off, but and then George also just coming out and going, you know, I want something more. It's interesting. I do think that George really wants Norma. Mm-hmm. And I think the key is that, and here's just my thought. I think the key is that when Norma left and she said, look, I didn't go to college. I was lying about, she was being honest too. I'm lying about college.
Yep.
I'm not polished. I'm not this kind of person. I don't belong in this world. I barely even graduated high school. I'm out the door.
Yeah.
That he didn't follow her. And I, for some reason, I equate that with he cared enough about her, didn't know what to do, and just let her go. I don't know. I mean,
interesting. I would think that he was just shocked and befuddled, like he was just like,
yeah. But I would think that if he definitely had an ulterior motive, that has to do with Nick to keep her on a leash, that he would be like, I don't care about all that. Just come on back, and he would be more likely to grab her and keep her there.
Interesting.
That's what I would equate with it. I mean, that's just my take. It could be. Hey, please, if you're listening and you think that's a different take, let me know. But that's what I got out of that.
Yeah, it just kind of seems like he is maybe a vanilla guy with that just likes Norma.
But one thing he did say, moving along, I suppose we can at this point move on to George and Norma and Nick eventually too. He did say something about when he was being a ranch hand, he learned how to you know, cook meat, how to grill meat, that he took a job and he faked it.
Interesting. That's a really, I like that you brought that up. Huh.
Yeah.
So you think that that's foreshadowing?
I do. I kind of believe that's foreshadowing. That line really stuck to me, that he took a job that he didn't know anything about and he faked it. And, you know, I mean, he doesn't know anything about criminal law, but he's still running to Norma's, you know, side to protect Norman, even though, and he, I guess he knew just enough, but it makes me wonder how much, maybe he's being really honest about his feelings about Norma, but really, how honest has he been? You know, that line itself just proves that he has lied about stuff before.
Mm-hmm.
So it does
I think the answer to that question is that we don't know.
Yeah.
And as long as they keep that the answer, you know, you're not quite sure. And keep the door open, it does make it a little bit more exciting to watch. Because I got to tell you, for me, George as a character is a little boring. And for Norma, it's nice to maybe, run off and have somebody that you can almost treat like a doormat if you need to. Because he seems like he would be there for anything. Mm-hmm. But he just seems a little bit boring. So I think that maybe once the other shoe drops and you see another side to him, it'll kind of...
Well, here's the other interesting thing about George, if he is faking it. We've never really seen George interacting with anybody else in a very smart way, intelligent way. Mm-hmm. Norma has already said she has her own self-worth issues and she's very doubtful. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to be able to pull the wool over anyone's eyes, she's practically gift-wrapped for being naive.
Yes.
When it comes to this kind of stuff. So, so I guess what I'm trying to say is it doesn't take much, perhaps, for George to actually
get in
and play a ruse on Norma. And you know what? I'll even go so far to say the fact that I can agree he's a bit vanilla. His character right now is a bit vanilla, which also kind of puts your radar off and says mm-hmm. something else is weird. Mm-hmm. But I would almost say that he doesn't have to be all intellectual. He doesn't have to be all layered and deep and revealing mm-hmm. to Norma. He just has to act like some upper crust intellectual and not even prove it to Norma. And that's how easily manipulative manipulated Norma can be.
Yeah, that's a very good point. You're absolutely right.
So, so we've never really seen George interact with anyone. We saw, I think, a little interaction with Romero, but never anything really revealing. So I think that's very, very interesting. And still, of course, when we talk about George, we also got to talk about Nick. Mm-hmm. Because they come from she met them at the same party, and we believe that perhaps there is a connection with the Ford family and George.
We believe that there is, and mm-hmm. I know that we've talked about it on the show several times that we do believe that Nick is kind of behind a lot of the things that are happening. But as far as everything with George and Norma, we've speculated that Nick kind of has a hand in that, mm-hmm. but we don't know that. In fact, have we ever even seen George and Nick interact?
No, we haven't.
So, I mean, to answer the question, do they maybe even know each other?
Hmm.
That's still all up in the air. And so I don't want to maybe get, that's stuff that I think, in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden you've got to say, well, wait a minute. It's not necessarily reality.
Yeah.
It's just kind of my, my suspicions. Nick was kind of scary this episode.
Nick was. One thing that I thought was interesting, again, very revealing. He just put it out there for Norma and goes, don't you get it? I got you that seat on the council.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think happened to Berman? I was responsible for that. You are beholden to me.
Yeah. Oh, so good.
Yes.
I liked how they actually even started off the episode. I'm going to back up and go to the very beginning of the episode
where
you see Norman walk out. I love the blocking of this. You see Norman walk out. Mm-hmm. Norma is then going to chase after him, but she is then stopped by Nick. And immediately they do so much great stuff with the blocking, like you mentioned before, with the stairs.
Mm.
Norma is immediately backing up and cowering and scared. And Nick is like, I need you to do me a favor.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I need you to call. Now, why did Nick want a meeting with Dylan?
Nick wanted a meeting with Dylan because Nick wanted to stop this war from happening. I guess at this point, he already knew about the warehouse. It wasn't really... It's assumed that he already knew about the warehouse battle mm-hmm. where, all his low-level employees mm-hmm. died. He didn't know he didn't know at the time that Dylan was a part of it. He didn't know. I mean, he figures that Dylan might have been a part of it, but he didn't discover Dylan because we saw Dylan on the ground and he was able to escape.
Correct.
Without being caught by the police, at least.
Correct.
So, but he obviously knows that Dylan and Norma, is Norma's mom, mm-hmm. and that he can talk to Dylan about ending this war by killing Zane.
So Nick is pretty much saying this is a peace offering. If you want to squash this, I need Zane's. I mean, Nick seems like a really powerful guy.
Well,
he could ask any number of people mm-hmm. to kill Zane, and I think that he could be successful. Why specifically he's chosen Dylan makes me think that he knows a lot about what's going on that side.
Mm. Well, it is very interesting because I agree with you. Obviously, a man with that power, he could probably get anybody else to do it, but it would coming from his side, he would be afraid that it would continue a war. Maybe Jody would take up the war because she mm-hmm. does care about her brother. But coming from Dylan, at least from the same side, it's an agreement that we need to end this. And this is the apple that's rottening not only the barrel, but rottening the other barrels, like, nearby, like, you know, the rest of the barrels in the town. This is the guy that just can't be stopped. I do want to say one thing that's really interesting about Nick, when he was talking to Norma, that one speech about him being saying, "You're beholden to me," I thought was interesting too. And this happened another time in the episode that I'll bring up later. Nick starts banging on that door to get when he's coming over to the house.
When Norman answers the door?
When Norman answers the door. And all of a sudden, he just takes this really quiet, like, nice disposition. I'm just looking for your mom, and just being nice and cordial. And as he says to Dylan, pleasantries are an important part of business, which Dylan doesn't get yet, because Dylan is still he's another one who's not completely educated, thrust into a position where he has not had the experience yet to do it, but there's definitely a lot of trust there. But the reason why I bring this up is just interesting to see the subtlety of him banging on that door and then changing. Mm-hmm. And then Romero did the same exact thing looking for Norman toward the end of the episode when he was finally getting fed up, and Norma answering the door. He did almost the same thing, almost the same kind of reaction, which I thought was a very interesting take.
This is the first time we actually see, in this episode, this is the first time we see Nick and Norman have a scene together, which I thought was really sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's interesting that the scene was actually about Blair Watson.
Yeah, without Nick knowing what the police know, obviously.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, had Sheriff Romero already come and had that first scene with...
I believe he did. Yes, I believe so.
What do you think that Norman thinks about this scenario?
Well, that's very interesting.
Because he remembers that he doesn't remember.
You know, it's funny because when he was having his conversation with Nick, it wasn't really a very... He wasn't nervous. He wasn't. Mm-hmm. He wasn't avoiding the conversation like he was with Romero.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like a very normal conversation on both sides. I think in a way, what happened was Nick was like, "You're the guy who took photos of me at the grave." That's how the conversation started. Yeah. So that's something that Norman was completely present for. It was a lucid moment, let's say. And Norman got caught, but Norman also had his reasons for being there because he got to. Find out who Eric was also as a result of this, because he was protecting Blair from this Eric person trying to find out what was going on. He was on a caper, as San Filippo would say.
Yeah.
And I think that conversation with Nick was a very, very informative one for both sides, even though, again, Nick doesn't know about the semen yet.
Let's hope Nick never finds out about that.
Well, I think based on the end of that episode, we'll see about that. But I think it was really, really interesting. I think also what I liked about Nick in this episode, we definitely got to see a more business side, mean mobster kind of side to him. But we also got to see how much he cared about his daughter, because he mentioned it in the beginning with Norma.
I thought that was so sweet
when he said, "Don't, you know, all the more reason for you to connect with Dylan. I need to talk to Dylan, but all the more reason for you to connect with Dylan if you had a falling out with him, because you never know."
Well, and I think that's. And there are two ways that you could have taken that scene. You could kill Dylan.
You'll never know him again.
Exactly. You better make amends now, because I'm about to kill your son. Or I just lost my daughter. You know, it's painful. Just please talk to your son. Which I think it was really sweet that Norma did, you know, talk to Dylan, and that they had, you know, I thought a very
and they
sweet,
reconnected.
Yeah, and at the end of the day. Dylan still has her back, you know, when he was having the meeting with Nick and he was like, "You go near my mother again and I'll kill you."
Yes, absolutely.
And he was dead serious.
Absolutely. There were a lot of, "I will kill you. if you do this, I will kill you" type moments throughout the episode. Actually, I think quite a few threats.
A lot of promises made.
A lot of promises made about people dying. So absolutely. Again, when we got to hear more of the story with Nick and Norman about his daughter and about how he was trying to cut her off with Eric was the business manager trying to cut her off and get her back. So very interesting. We got to definitely learn a lot about Blair Watson in this episode, not just from Nick, but even Romero saying that, "Listen, she slept with a lot of guys. It's okay if you slept with Norman. It's okay if you slept with her." Yeah. Well, she slept with a lot of guys, and a lot of them weren't nice. So, which I thought was interesting too.
I like that Romero completely has Norman's back. I'm trying to think about what his thought process is, because when he was talking to this Deputy Lynn, he was like, "Don't bring this up again."
Yeah, or I'll kill you. Yeah. Or I'll hang you. I'll hang you for illegally submitting DNA in a criminal case or something. I think.
Yeah.
I wrote it down.
Yeah. I don't understand.
Illegally running a DNA sample through the DNA through the criminal database.
Now, is that because he's protecting Norman and now maybe has a thing for Norma, or is that because it would bring to light that they have convicted somebody that is innocent? And that will make Sheriff Romero look bad.
Hmm. That's interesting because we're jumping ahead to Romero right now, but he does say to Norman at the end that he wants to know the truth. He wants to know if he put an innocent man in jail or not.
Yeah.
So it is interesting. I personally thought it was just him trying to control the town, knowing the disinformation, if it got out, would just, you know, even add to this war that's going on between the Fords and the Morgans. It would incredibly draw a lot of heat on the town. I think it's also to protect Norma. But I think ultimately his job is to control this balancing act he has between two families in this weed business, from wreaking havoc, from taking over the town in their own way and using their own brand of justice.
Mm-hmm.
Because ultimately, if Nick takes care of Norman, it's almost as if there's no law.
Yeah.
In the town anymore. It's like, what good is Romero there for if he can't control this situation? So I there's a lot there, but I definitely think this is a man who's just trying to uphold the peace of the town.
Yeah. He didn't seem very phased when he was walking through Nick's, you know, warehouse with a sea of dead bodies. And he just kind of seemed like...
Yeah, know, I guess I didn't notice that, but I guess that's a good point. I guess it was kind of very... For a small town, he seems to be very okay with seeing death sometimes.
Yeah, he's used to it. It comes around a lot.
Especially thanks to Zane. I think he's just assuming he knows it's Zane.
Oh, is it? So where do we think Zane's hiding?
Good question. You know, I have a theory on that, actually, because, well, here's the thing. When in that same conversation, I believe, with the deputy, or it might have been an earlier one, deputy says they've been scoping out the dry docks and they've been scoping out Jody's house, and there was another location they were scoping out, and there was no sign of Zane. But we saw two scenes earlier, Zane at Jody's house with Dylan trying to go over the plan. So Zane was at Jody's house, but according to the deputy, they scoped it out and there was no sign of him. So I really makes me think, I mean, look, she illegally ran that DNA sample. Mm-hmm. She illegally ran it.
Yep.
And here she is now saying that Zane is someplace, isn't where he was, even if he's not there right now. I mean, it's possible that she just missed him. Mm-hmm. But I really don't trust her motives. So it even makes me think some more, and this might be a prediction, but it makes me think some more that Debbie Lynn is on the take, and possibly she's on the take with the Morgans because she literally just protected Zane by saying he's not there.
Hmm. Interesting.
So that's my thought on that. I mean, we saw Romero definitely wants to get some answers as well from Zane. He threatened Dylan. He said, "If you're lying to me, I will kill you." Again, another threat for a life. A lot of people threatening this episode. A lot of
meltdowns.
A lot of meltdowns, really, if you think about it. But yeah, so I don't know exactly where Zane is, but he should be laying low. The question is Zane obviously thinks he knows what's best for this war. He thinks he knows more than Jody. Will he really relinquish control? And I think he also realizes that Dylan is making a play for his sister, and Dylan is now has the keys to the car, so to speak. And I don't know if Zane's happy about that either. He doesn't like being usurped by some punk kid.
Well, now that Zane is, I mean, for lack of a better, kind of out of the picture for a minute, he's kind of hiding out. It really now gives Dylan this opportunity to come forward and, you know, prove himself. I can't peg it, but there is a part of Jody this episode that I couldn't figure out. And I don't know if it was maybe just the choices that she was making as an actress, but I didn't buy that she was, at the top of this huge marijuana, you know, kingdom. I didn't buy it because she was having a really, really difficult, time just making decisions. I don't know what to do. Now, is it because this is her brother and she cares about him? Or, you know, maybe she isn't smart, and maybe it's just something this was given to her by her family and she doesn't really know what to do about it, and it's only a matter of time before she kind of just, you know,
I get what you're saying.
Funnels it up.
I get what you're saying, and I actually think it's the latter. I think it's what you just said now, that she was given this job, kind of like Norma's giving jobs, kind of like Dylan giving his job, and she given a job that she's not necessarily ready for, she's not trained for. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's not a trained killer. I mean, you figure someone who runs a business like this has to be able to make tough decisions, mm-hmm. And to cut some heads off and to do, you know, to definitely cause havoc. And she's more of a scientist in a way. She mm-hmm. likes to stay up in her greenhouse working on the herbs, working on the weed. She doesn't want to get her hands dirty. One thing that I thought was very, very interesting, I think when the conversation they had, actually they mentioned that Dad gave her the business mm-hmm. when he passed away. And Zane has his own impressions on how the business should be handled, but she's the one in charge.
It was a family affair as well. It was Uncle Gil.
Uncle Gil, yeah.
Is that the first time that we found out that Gil was actually her uncle?
I don't know. I'm starting to lose track of a lot of things. I've been juggling three shows today, but I'm not sure. Perhaps. I didn't really notice that. I guess I always just assumed it was a family business that he was possibly related, but I don't know if I heard uncle before.
Oh, interesting.
So that's possible.
I was shocked when I heard that.
Mm. But the one thing I did think was really great, when Dylan walked back up to Jody to say, I had a meeting with Nick, and tell him pretty much the plan, that Zane is insane, just going to go down to the last man standing. Nick is not going to sell his family yeah. business to us. We're not going to own the town. We have to do something about Zane.
Yes.
Pretty much putting the screws in there, saying that we're going to have to dispose of Zane.
And her response is, I don't know what to do. That's how she responded to
that. Her response was first, I don't know what to do. I thought at first, I actually thought, based on the fact that he saved Zane a few episodes ago when he ended up in the hospital, that she was going to have this... And the fact that Zane's a screw up, that she was going to have this devotion towards Zane, that no matter how much he screws up, he's still her brother and she still stands by him. But she says, I don't know what to do. And then she gives Dylan permission to do what he has to do, and gives him, in essence, power. And then the power to do this. And then the next thing that happens is they hug.
Mm-hmm.
And there was something very...
It was in the hug, though. Because it was in the hug, and she's like, if you need to do whatever you need to do with Zane, that's okay.
Okay. All right. So it was in the hug. Regardless, there was something very paternal about the hug that I saw. So it was almost like she was relinquishing control. It's almost as if she needs an alpha male or a father figure to guide her, to run the business, to support her. She's giving control back to this man, mm-hmm. and he's taking the role of maybe her dad, when her dad was in charge of the business, or Uncle Gil, you know, a male figure that can handle
that's,
this.
I think that's great, because we've been talking so much about how, Dylan is really in this position where he needs to kind of provide and be a family man. Mm-hmm. And so now that she's, now that he's kind of found somebody that, they're fitting in together quite perfectly.
Absolutely. That's actually where I was going at next, because absolutely. We saw that when he was at Norma's, him trying to take over that position, that father figure type of position. Mm-hmm. And really interesting that it seems like he now has this adopted family that where Jody takes on the Norma position more or less. Well, more or less. I mean, he gets to sleep with Jody. He doesn't sleep with Norma. But he definitely – but he kind of takes on that position. So a very interesting dynamic over there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the question will ultimately come as to – while he wants to protect Norma – as he said to Nick, and he seems to care a little bit about Joe. I think it's still a little early, but I still feel like him being thrust in this position automatically has him now with this adopted family. So what's going to happen when he has to choose between the two?
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a very, very interesting dynamic to see.
Yeah.
So let's wrap up a little bit more, I guess, did we miss anything? I feel like we jumped around a little bit.
I just want to talk about, going back to Nick, I know we were kind of all over, I just want to talk about, how Norma kind of told off Nick, and I loved that scene, because Norma has kind of been cowering to Nick all of this time, and she really, she really kind of told him off.
Yeah.
Which... we've been talking a lot about how these two families, and how Norma kind of being on the Nick side and Dylan being on the Morgan side, mm-hmm. is going to just kind of drive, Norma and Dylan further apart. But what I actually think it's going to do is I think it's going to bring them together more, because, as we kind of see, Norma is not taking any more of Nick's crap, and now he doesn't, you know. It's so funny because, as Sanfilippo would say if he was sitting right here, it's reality versus Norma again and again and again. Mm. And she kind of just jumps first and thinks later. And, she, you know, she doesn't think about the repercussions of what it's going to be like talking to Nick this way. And he even said he was almost, like, befuddled. He was like, you're making a big mistake. Like, who talks to him that way? And she's like, and get out of my house. You know, Sheriff Romero is a personal friend of mine. You know, I was waiting for him to say, yeah, and Sheriff Romero is a personal friend of mine, too.
Yeah, I got you, Sheriff Romero. Yeah.
Yeah. Do we want to talk about the end, about the cliffhanger?
Yeah, no, I definitely wanted to. I just want to see what else we could squeeze out of the juice of this episode before we get to that cliffhanger. But I think it's about that. That's why I wanted to bring up the Romero thing again, because obviously Romero and Deputy Lynn are the only ones who know about the semen in Blair Watson that matches Norman.
Mm-hmm. So allegedly.
As you love to bring up. Do we need to talk about sex again? And we see these confrontations that they're not meant to be confrontations, but we see Romero trying to come in and nicely, at least in the beginning, nicely just bring up this whole thing about Blair Watson. How do you know Blair Watson? And finally comes down to the very end when he's banging on the door and he is, because Norman keeps avoiding him and running off, and we see the... You know, we see him shaking, you know, when he's running off and just avoiding awkwardly. And then we see Romero confront him finally.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know the truth. I want to know if I convicted an innocent man. I want to know what happened that night.
I thought he was about to black out.
It seems like they're teasing like he's close to blacking out. That's why Norman's getting away, because if Norman stays there and takes any more of this, he's going to snap.
But it's interesting because he's aware that he blacks out, but now it seems like he's becoming a little bit more self-aware that it's about to happen, even though he doesn't know what happens in these blackouts.
Yeah.
But I found it interesting that he ran up the stairs and he grabbed the pearls, again with, you know, an item and a prop that they use. He grabbed the pearls and he grabbed the picture.
The picture of her. I guess the newspaper, was it a newspaper article it looked like?
Like a clipping, yeah. Clipping. It was difficult for me to see.
Yeah, I believe it's a clipping. He's used it before, I believe.
But it was almost like that's what he needed to, you know, talk him down, bring him down. It was really interesting.
Mm. But don't forget what sent him off. What sent him off was Romero saying, I'm going to have to, if you're not honest, I'm going to tell your mom.
Oh.
Because that set him off too. I mean, he was avoiding him before, but Romero said, I can understand if you don't want to be honest because you don't want your mom to know, but you got to tell me. You got to tell me the truth because, you know, I got to know. And if not, I'm going to have to tell your mom.
Hmm. So do you think it was the threat of Norma? Because I thought it was kind of just the badgering about the kind of sexual situation.
I think it was the threat of Norma, especially after he just took a stand against his mom, and now all of a sudden here he is, like, worried about her, you know, worried about her finding out again. I don't forget the game. This is interesting. I just came up with this, so forgive me if I'm a little unclear of this.
All right.
He said at one point the game was that we love each other, that we're devoted to each other, nothing can come between us, that anyone could ever love another person. We've seen Norman get jealous.
Oh yeah.
Over his mom, with George, in fact, which of course his mom was using that as a ploy to try and get Norman to open up. And
but
he's
it
like,
wasn't
go
biting.
Ahead. He's like, go ahead, go hang out with George. I don't care.
So
we see that. So now, if Norma was to find out that he actually slept with Miss Watson, what would that do to this relationship? And it would prove that he was lying to his mom too, in a way that he didn't tell her the whole truth. So that would ruin that. That would affect that relationship as well. So I think that was his reaction.
Hmm. Yeah.
And again, I'm not 100% clear on that. It just hit me. But I think that's an interesting note. But Norman apparently, you still think that he didn't sleep with her. I don't know. Maybe I want him to sleep with her. I don't know at this point. But I can totally understand. I love the analogy you got from our friend on Twitter about presumed innocent. I do love that. I think
that's
fabulous.
I think that that's exactly how Carlton Cuse does this. He puts these little, you know, Easter eggs in, and, you know, it's never the easiest answer.
Well, let me ask you this question, because I didn't bring it up yet, and I think there's something very interesting about this. Double indemnity was used in this episode.
I'm so glad you brought that up.
And a classic Billy Wilder movie, not Hitchcock. But Billy Wilder. But although Hitchcock, I believe, gave like a... I was trying to look it up, but I definitely saw that there was a Hitchcock connection, I guess, in you know, he raved about it.
What year was it made?
Ooh, I don't have it in front of me now. just been, but we can pull it up.
I completely agree because it was brought up a few times and then he was watching it.
Yeah.
And I was wondering.
He didn't want to see it with his mom because even though it was playing at the Vista and then he ended up seeing it on his laptop. By the way, it was interesting. It's so interesting when you see technology in that house because you figure there's a reason for it.
Misplaced. It doesn't look like it belongs there. But I definitely was wondering about the symbolism and the significance of that movie.
Mm.
Because nothing put in that movie or nothing put in this show or done on this show is by accident.
Double Indemnity came out in 1944. And it's the according to I'm pulling this up. I'm guessing this is either IMDb or Wikipedia. It just says right now it's this essential Hollywood film noir is about an insurance salesman lured to his doom by a predatory femme fatale. Which is very interesting, actually, when you see that, only because. What strikes me from reading that sentence is not that he's an insurance salesman, but just the way that sentence is, George is kind of like a very vanilla type of guy like an insurance salesman would be.
Mm-hmm.
And not that Norma is a predatory femme fatale, but very interesting
She's
to see maybe a little bit, but very interesting to see that line.
I think it was a little predatory how she went over there.
That's true.
It was very – she didn't care about George's feelings. She just, in that moment, wanted to kind of satisfy her own needs and, you know, in a sense, make Norman jealous.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not going to give me attention, I'm going to go get it attention other, you know, other places. Mm. It felt to me like her intention was to cheat on Norman.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That definitely felt like that. She just ran back to do that. But then, of course, by her being out of the house and Norman being alone, he gets taken hostage.
Once again.
Kidnapped.
Once again, it shows that the second that she leaves his side, that something happens to him.
And we've noticed that we made that point in season one, I believe, that if she leaves his side or leaves him alone, something bad happens to
him. Yep, it is.
So, and then very interesting.
She let him walk down the road, two episodes ago, and then somebody gets killed.
Exactly.
She's like, fine, you want to be alone? Be alone. She goes and she has sex. I mean, how guilty is she going to feel about that when she comes back from having sex and realizing that, you know, he's gone?
Mm-hmm.
So are we in agreement that Nick did this?
I believe Nick did this. I couldn't think of anyone else that could do it.
Well, I think that when Dylan looked at him and he said, you stay away from my mother, I'll fucking kill you.
he didn't mean his son. Her son. Yeah,
he didn't say anything about Norman.
Yeah.
And when Nick was looking at Norma and he's like, you're making a big mistake.
Mm.
And she's like, get out of my house, get out of my house. Didn't say anything about Norman.
Yeah. No, very interesting.
So, and I also think that being kidnapped after, on top of everything else that's going on, for a person that's kind of like has some short wires and has some, you know, psychological things going on, this can definitely just be another layer on that cake.
But here's the thing too that I want to bring up. How did I'm assuming that he's getting kidnapped more so because of the semen sample, which means they would probably mean Debbie Lynn revealed that information, which also obviously that's what you don't think so.
No, I think he's getting kidnapped because of the drug war.
I disagree only because in clips, for those of you who don't watch clips for next week, pardon me, but I think in clips from next week's episode, you saw somebody holding on to somebody different, holding on to the pearls and the clipping. So I feel like I think that whoever did that with the intention of knowing the truth. So the question is, did Lynn leak it out? How do they find out? Did Lynn leak it out? Is she working behind somebody, the Morgans or the Fords? Because really, she could work for either side, and it would benefit either side to reveal that information at this point to Nick Ford.
Yeah.
So very interesting. I mean, you could be right, but I think it has more to do with the semen sample.
Maybe it wasn't Nick at all. Maybe it was like one of Romero's friends that was like just wanted to get him down to the hotel room, and so he's going to be in the hotel. And he's like, "I'm sitting you down. You're not going to be able to run away. You were going to answer these questions for me."
I don't think Romero would do that. I think he cares about Norma too much to really be that tough on Norman.
Yeah, he's turning into a big softy.
Yeah, I don't think I can see Romero doing it. I'm pretty sure, though, that Ford has it, that Nick has it. It's just a matter of how did he find out. I think that's the real mystery right now. How did he find out, and who benefits from this information getting out?
So you think that Nick knows about the semen sample?
I think he knows about the semen sample.
He would have to know by Deputy Lynn.
I think it would be Deputy Lynn that would tell him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think there's a lot of curiosity there as far as what's going on with this information and how it's going to play into this drug war that's going on as well.
Mm-hmm.
But again, really, really beautifully done episode. This show is, I will say it, I think it's the best show on TV right now. And, and I'm I, there are a couple of shows that I really love on TV that to say that it's a big moment to say that. But right now I think it's the best show on TV.
It's really just well done, well acted, mm-hmm. well blocked, well shot. It's just I feel like it just has everything.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of shows are good, but, you know, there's just something missing.
I mean, it doesn't have the aha moment maybe of Game of Thrones, or I love the conspiracy and what's going on with Orphan Black right now. But I just really love how beautifully done Bates is at this moment. I just think it's doing just a phenomenal job. And again, only two more episodes. I'm a little sad to say only two more episodes left.
Yep.
But it's really, really doing well.
Yeah.
So what I'd love to do is, what we usually do is we don't have, unless you have any news and gossip.
No, well, did you have any shout-outs?
I wanted to definitely do shout-outs. I wanted to stall while I've tried something different this time because our Wi-Fi is usually down. I'm always having problems with Wi-Fi. So I took little screen grabs of at least the iPhone of the iTunes. So I just want to say we got a lot of shout-outs, actually. Double the J's. Leather and Lace, who we already talked about. Happy, oh my goodness. I guess there are a lot of happies. This person put a number behind it. Happy 463-828-6656.
Well,
so I guess that was the first happy that was available.
Good to have a lot of happies.
Yeah. Ingrown big toe toenail. Gotta love that.
Is that a thing? Really?
I guess so.
Oh,
and
that's hilarious.
Sportney 4 or Sporty 4. I just kind of went away because I wanted to pull up the... I wanted to pull up the iTunes one. Not the iTunes. I wanted to pull up the... Oh, no. I'm on the wrong one.
So,
pardon me, guys.
Joe and Joe will be back next week. The two Joes.
Way to stall. I know. It's kind of, when we have two people here... No, it's just funny. When we have two people here, it's like... Usually, it's a little bit easier for one of us to kind of sneakily do this while the rest of us are talking. So that's what we need Joe there. Just for filler. We need a Joe
for
filler.
You know, I actually do have something that I wanted to mention to you really quickly about. Something that you said last episode.
Okay.
You were kind of curious, and I don't... About... harking back to Jody. You were kind of curious as to why Norman always gave Jody kind of a bad rap, and he never... You know, he never said anything bad to Emma.
You mean Cody.
Cody, yes.
Okay.
Oh, sorry. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Cody.
Mm-hmm.
And why, you know, he could never really be mad at Emma, but he always kind of like, you know, let Cody have it. And I think the reason for that is because of Norma. Norma didn't like Cody. Mm-hmm. Norma likes Emma. And I think that ultimately the way that Norman is going to feel about somebody is going to mirror how his mother feels about somebody.
I can totally see that.
Because he's eventually going to turn into his mother.
That's a really good point. And we've seen moments when he has turned into his mother.
Yeah.
So it only makes sense that he is listening to her, even if he doesn't realize he is. He's trying to rebel against her, but ultimately he is still...
And his behavior is showing that.
He's still showing that. So, on YouTube, the people who commented last, we got a lot of great comments, too, is CC Freak, and that's with an extra F in there, D&J Studio 13, Day 1555, Robert Berisha, Lounge Blogger, Ace Radical Drago, Daphne Holmes, Michael Hernandez... I already said Robert Berisha. Miss Lean, Sportney 4. Oh, Sportney was on both.
Thanks, Mr.
Illusion Eyes. Thank you for posting on both, Sportney 4. My Click 205. Forgive me if I said the name wrong. Doc Flatliner. And I believe I said Joseph Boza. But thank you very much. Thank you so much for commenting. Again, only two more episodes. It's so sad. But we'd love to hear from you. Let us know what you think. Give us your theory and comments. It's so much juice here to really speculate on. So we'd love to hear what you guys have to say about Bates Motel. I believe this is about the time when we get into predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Okay, I feel like we've kind of given away what we think's going to happen already.
Yeah,
but is there anything else you want to say, or do you want to reiterate?
Well, I'm kind of on the fence here about whether or not Dylan is going to actually kill Zane.
Yeah, I think that's a good question. Will Zane survive?
Yeah, I don't think that Zane is going to survive, but I don't think that Dylan is going to kill him.
Here's what I think, and I'm not sure who yet, but I think, as I said earlier this episode, there have been a lot of threatening tones. A lot of people saying, if I find out about this or if you do that, I'm going to kill you.
Yep.
So I really feel like it's someone's going to have to come through with that threat.
Mm-hmm.
So I would have to think, out of the bunch, it makes the most sense for Dylan to kill Nick.
Interesting, because I was going to say that I think that Norman is going to kill Nick. When he was listening to the conversation.
Ooh, I like that one better, actually, because Norman was. No, you're right, because Norman was listening to that conversation between Norma and Nick.
Yeah.
That makes a lot more sense to me. Yeah. You know what? I take it back. Thank you. Yeah. but I was just feel like someone's threatening somebody else. Someone threatening somebody else is finally going to come through on that. So, but I like the Norman one. That's really good. Anyway, Dua, where can we find you during the week?
You can find me, Dua Casey, on the Twitters.
The Twitters? Yes. As you drink your tea, as you drink your coffee, pinky out.
Yes, of course. And Nando, where can you find
you? Can find me on the Twitter as well. You can find me at Nandovel, N-A-N-D-O-V-E-L, here on AfterBuzz as well for a bunch of shows, including Orphan Black, which I love, The Blacklist, Hannibal, The Following, and Soon to Be 24. And, of course, on Bates Motel, as I love so much. Thank you so much for tuning in. Please tune in next week. We tape usually Pacific time here, 3:30 p.m. on Tuesdays, and we will catch you next week.
Woohoo!
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.